Hey now, everybody. Welcome to the Cardinals Standout in Your Career podcast. This is presented by the Alumni Relations Office here at Saginaw Valley State University. My name is Nick Taylor. I'm the Executive Director of Alumni Relations here at the university. And today, I'm very fortunate to be graced by Miss Lizzie Hubble-Redosa. Lizzie is a proud grad of SVSU. We've been arguing about when she actually graduated. I had her pegged much later, but Lizzie is currently the Assistant Director of Career Services here at SVSU. So welcome, Lizzie. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me today, Nick.
Awesome. So Lizzie, we got to talk a little bit about your background first.
All
okay,
right.
Before we jump in, I have all these questions and I think it's really funny. Today's topic is all about interview skills.
Yep.
We in this podcast try to reach out and help all of our alumni brush up on some type of professional development. And I have always prided myself in being an amazing interviewee and not a great interviewer. So this is going to be interesting. We're reversing this a little bit.
Yeah.
But give us a little bit of background. How'd you end up in career services and what gives you the expertise to talk about this topic today?
Yeah. So career services isn't really where I saw myself landing, but I've been here about 2.5 years now, and I've absolutely loved it, working with the students and the alumni, just helping them get prepared for their careers after graduation and just navigating all the changes that happen throughout, applying for jobs, interviewing, always changes that are happening to resumes. But I moved back to, I lived overseas for about 5.5 years after graduation from here. I moved back to the U.S. Just after the pandemic, and I was working in the foundation office. I was there as a student worker back in my time, so I kind of had my network here on campus that I reached out to and was able to come back to campus that way, but I just really missed kind of the interaction with students and being on campus, and so when the role in career services opened up, I took it and been going ever since.
Love it. So you spent time overseas. We should mention you and I, we've gone back for a while. I've known you for a while. You spent time in Australia.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
And through that experience and coming back to the U.S., I'm assuming you had lots of interviews.
Yes.
Lots of them. So in this topic of interviewers or interview questions and that kind of stuff, I always laugh because I've interviewed a lot of folks. I've hired a lot of folks over my time at the university, and I have lots of funny anecdotal stories. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask you first, what are some of the biggest mistakes candidates can make during an interview?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest, and this is one that I had right out of college as well, was not researching the company. A lot of employers, when they're kind of interviewing you, and especially post-pandemic, they really want to know what you already know about the organization and why you're interested in applying there. And I'd get that question all the time, and I'd be like, you had this job posted and I applied. That's what I know about you. So I think really doing that research on the organization, kind of figuring out how you fit there as well to be able to bring that into the interview and just kind of having that preparedness as you go in. But I think also just failing at the end as well to ask the questions. It's your chance to interview them. You want to make sure that they're going to be a good fit for you as well. So you want to have that opportunity when they ask you, do you have any questions for us? To be able to have those really meaningful questions and be able to kind of navigate through if they're the right fit.
So kind of on that topic, I love that. And I've got some horror stories out there of interviewers. And the first one that always comes to mind is someone who obviously, like, they didn't even realize what campus they were on when they were doing the interviews. And it's amazing that people get to that point. But what, you know, you talk about understanding the company and the role and kind of your fit. I see that. But how can candidates research and prepare for that interview, though? Where do they find that information? I mean, we all know the website's out there.
Yep.
Right? But what else can they do?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously their website's a big one. Really kind of focusing on like what their mission statements are and kind of knowing what that mission statement is and if there's anything that kind of really resonates with your own personal story and your own personal mission, that's a really good connection to make. But even just utilizing LinkedIn, they're all going to have bios on their LinkedIn profiles for the company. And on using LinkedIn, you can then kind of get a better sense of some of the other employees who work there. LinkedIn, if you know they have that they went to SVSU, is also going to show that the alumni that are working there, you can go to those alumni profiles and you can make that connection with them as well. So you have that opportunity for our recent grads who are still utilizing Handshake, if they have a Handshake profile for their company as well. Previous people that have worked there can do a little bit more of like reviews than what you can do on LinkedIn. So using Handshake is also a really good platform just to get that additional research. Handshake has an area where they can also like give feedback on what the interview process was like. So kind of checking them out there, but really looking at what those mission statements are. And just getting a good understanding of the job description as well. I know a lot of people kind of do like a numbers game. They just submit their applications. And the job search period can take a little bit of time sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when you get that call for that interview, you're like, I don't even remember what I applied for. Like, what was this job? And that job posting's no longer online anymore. You can't find it. You can't go back to it. So as you're applying, also save those job descriptions. Copy and paste it into a Word document. Have an Excel spreadsheet of this is the date I applied. This is the position, the company. Here's the link to my job description that I have saved. And that way, then you kind of have something to look back on and really prepare for the interview as well.
I want to point out in you talking about that in the research on LinkedIn, I didn't pay you to say that, right?
No, definitely not.
Okay, because we talk about LinkedIn a lot on the podcast and the, kind of the role it's taken. And it's amazing. You know, I think of going to the web. I'm old. So I think of going to the website right away and kind of researching there. I would have never thought to actually research the people I might be interviewing with on LinkedIn and find that content. So that's awesome. So, you know, this might lead into this next question a little bit, but, you know, how can a candidate really set themselves apart from the crowd in the interview process specifically itself? So I'm here. I'm ready to show up. I've got my best suit on. I'm looking my best, ready to go. What do I do?
Yeah. So one thing that we're kind of hearing a lot from the employers that we work with is the kind of lack of interest in the company. So that's kind of where that like research comes in as well. But especially post-pandemic, we know a lot of companies have had a ton of turnover. It's been hard to kind of retain employees, and the cost that goes with hiring new people on instead of just retaining employees is quite significant. So really being able to display your enthusiasm for that role, for that company, and specifically what you're going to bring to that role is a really strong point that employers are looking for. And that, like I said, really goes into, you know, doing that research, understanding what their mission is, understanding what their values are, and, you know, do a Google search of them. Just say, you know, XYZ company in the news. See if there's any recent news articles. Did they do some really great like DE&I initiatives lately that really resonate with you? Being able to kind of bring up that stuff and say like, oh, hey, I saw this great article about your company and these great things that you're doing. That's just showing the employer that, hey, they actually want to work here. They're invested in what we're actually doing. It's not just a job for them. Is really going to help you kind of stand out versus someone else who just, you know, applied, has a really great resume, looks great on paper, but just kind of doing that numbers game.
You know, it's funny you say that, because as you were talking about, you know, doing the research on the company and in retention, especially, I going in my vast memory bank of all the interviews that I've sat in on, and I can remember vividly some people who were supremely talented, very well polished, could answer the questions right on there. But I also can remember it being a horrible interview because they were very much not aligned with anything that we were even looking for in that position. So, you know, as you're saying that, I took a little note. A lot of times that interview process is about finding the right fit. For the sake of a bad metaphor, it's a speed dating circumstance where they're sitting down and you're trying to find, is that chemistry there with that candidate? So that's, you know, that's a great way to put it that you did. I appreciate it. So what are some of the, I'm thinking about the interview itself. Okay, I'm getting ready to walk in the door. What's the best way to make a great first impression? First impressions are so important. And sometimes we have to overcome them, in my case. Sometimes we can make a career out of them, right? So what's the best way to make that first impression?
So I definitely think the first one, whether this is, you know, an in-person interview or a virtual one, always arrive early. If it's a virtual one, be at your computer, get set up, ready to go early.
Okay, you're saying early. Give us a time frame.
I would say no more than, you know, 15 minutes max. A little bit more than that, you're probably maybe pushing it. But I mean, you can be out in the parking lot, so you've gotten yourself plenty of time.
Perfect.
But 10 to 5 to 10 minutes kind of beforehand, be in the office, be in the lobby, be checking in for that interview, or be in the virtual lobby about 5 minutes early. That way too, like, especially if you're not familiar with like the company, if it's a large corporate building or a large hospital or something, you're not sure where to go. You don't show up all out of breath because you just literally ran there, kind of give yourself that extra time. But as you're doing that as well, every single person that you come in contact with, you don't know who's going to be in the interview room. So treat them like you would who like is going to be in that room.
Thank you.
The, you know, the secretary at the front desk, the person you pass in the parking lot, anyone you come in contact with, have that smile, be friendly. If you are lost, ask those questions, and just kind of have that professional self with everyone. One, we do a lot of classroom presentations, and one of the professors in a class that we do every year, she was doing some interviews in the healthcare kind of setting, and one of her coworkers was out in the parking lot before the interview. The candidate showed up, and their decompressing method must have just been to, you know, listen to some hard rock and kind of have that
moment in their car.
Totally fine. But they ended up being parked next to the person who ended up interviewing them. So they kind of had that like awkward, like when they walked in and saw each other, that like awkward, like, oh, gosh, you were just next to me moment. So, you know, if you need to have that moment, totally cool. But, you know, maybe park down the street a little bit, have your moment, and then come in. That's awesome. Definitely treat everyone that you come in contact with respect. Just like I said, you never know who's in that room. And a lot of people will kind of come out and ask, like any of the front desk workers, like, hey, you know, did they sit down immediately and pull out their phone when we gave them a few minutes out here? Or, you know, did they, how did they greet you? Did they, were they courteous to you? They're going to ask those questions of their coworkers. So I think those are kind of, you know, really important ones for those first impressions. But of course, your dress too. At our career fairs, like, you know, we always say dress professionally, but we also don't turn students away, because I'm kind of in that mentality of, if you want your first impression to be your sweatpants and your sweatshirt to the employers, that's on you.
Right.
Then the employers come up to us afterwards and they're like, why didn't you turn that student away? And I'm like, well, you should have also told them that that wasn't appropriate. Like, we kind of want that feedback from you as well. So you kind of want to, again, going back to doing that research, figure out what their company culture is, and then go one step above. If you know, like if you've worked there previously, or you know people that work there, and you know the typical attire is nice pair of slacks and a polo, just go a step above then for your interview. You always want to kind of go a little bit higher. But if you know if it's a little bit more casual of a setting, you might not necessarily need that full suit and tie or anything like that. But kind of get a sense of the company's culture, make sure that you are aligning with that brand. And other things to kind of prepare professionally dressed as well, you know, have a nice padfolio, have your folder with you with your copies of your resume. That just shows that preparedness as well.
No, I love that you said about the first impression and talking about the coworkers and the story of the hard rock. That's something I would do totally. I can think back, you know, when we are looking to hire here at the university, I will tell you, first of all, we have amazing support staff, right? We have a lot of amazing support staff members. And we, I personally, and I know that your office, you also, you listen to them and we want their feedback.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times they might be, not be the people in the room for the interview, but they will absolutely tell you the first impression and what was said and how it was said. And you know, one thing you mentioned too is about the phone, sitting down and pulling out the phone. We all have that habit. I'm just sitting down and maybe even taking that second to decompress and relax and have that conversation with a person. That soft skill is just such a great first impression for somebody looking for a professional job.
The employers that attend our fairs, we kind of survey them at the end of every academic year. And it was outstanding numbers this year that they said the top soft skill that they're kind of seeing as the most important, but also an area that they're seeing as kind of lacking was communication. And that is both in the kind of written format, especially emails and sending proper emails, but very much in that verbal format as well of being able to, you know, politely speak to everyone, professionally speak to everyone and have that kind of articulate communication also.
Okay, so a follow-up question on that. I love this. I'm an alum. I'm a couple years removed from my college experience. I'm out. I'm looking either for a career change or to move up, maybe in at a competitor, right? And I'm walking in. How do I prepare my communication soft skills? What are some things some tips and tricks that I can do. I have my own opinion, but yeah. I want to hear yours first and kind of go back and forth. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. Kind of threw me off with that one there, Nick.
I know. That's all right.
I mean, I think really, and one thing too that I feel like going into interviews, especially like no matter what the setting is as humans, we kind of have a hard time thinking about like what are all those accomplishments that we've done. So I think that's one where you really just need to sometimes sit down and think about, okay, these are the soft skills I have and what are the examples that relate to them? So if you're really thinking about like your communication soft skills, think about, oh, like I had, you know, this professor or this coworker give me a really good accolade from this, you know, situation that came up. Try to think back through those situations and, you know, jot them down. And those are the ones that you might want to bring up kind of in an interview setting as you're getting prepared for it. So I say that's kind of like one way to kind of prepare it is just like thinking back on what are those accomplishments? When have I had really good communication? Whether that's, you know, public speaking that you've done, you've gotten up, you spoke at a chamber event or something, big corporate event, whatever it might be. Just kind of that one-on-one communication with coworkers if issues arise, or if you've, you know, recently started talking with higher level execs and now you're wanting to, you know, move up to that next level, think about, okay, what is the work that I've done with them? How did I communicate with them? What was successful? What wasn't? And try to think from there of kind of examples that you might want to give.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. That was, I always come across, we've had a visitor to campus who comes, to campus quite often to do our freshman convocation. His name's Arel Moody. Arel's one of my favorite guys. Shout out Arel if you're out there. He did a great presentation. Actually, it was a TED Talk probably about 10 or 15 years ago. I don't want to age him too far. But he talked about the art of being likable.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that when I talk to folks about interview settings or just that small soft skill of communication opening up. So I walk in, I'm ready for an interview. I'm checked in with the support staff and I sit down. Probably the biggest impact you can have is to put on your investigator hat and ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, people, you can tell from me already, and anybody, everybody loves to talk about themselves.
Yes.
And if you want to make a good impression and you want to fit in, if you want, even if it's small, hey, how do you, you know, I'm really excited about the opportunity to work here.
Yeah.
What's it like for you? Yeah. How do you like it? Yeah. What do you like about this place?
That's one of my favorite questions to tell students to ask at the end of an interview.
Oh, really? What is that? So go ahead.
To have them ask the interview, you know, what they enjoy most about working here or what's their favorite thing about this company, just something like that, just to get them talking about themselves. But then it also gives them an idea of, okay, what's the work culture like here? Do they have a good answer? Is it not easy for them to come up with an answer?
Is it canned? Right.
Yep. So that's one of the ones that I love to tell students. If you can't think of anything at the end, that's a good one to ask.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I always think of the, we're all family here. I'm like, run, red flag, red flag, run. Okay. Sorry. We had to go. But, no, that's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. So let's talk about the actual interview itself.
Yes.
Some of the questions going in. We know what some of the questions are going to be. We've done our research. We know the company. We know based on, you know, if it's a sales position, they might ask me some sales technique, that kind of stuff. What's the best way to approach answering very specific behavioral questions? And what type of methods are out there that you help both students and alumni as they prepare for an interview?
Yeah. So whenever we do our kind of presentations or people come in, students, alumni come in for mock interviews, there's a ton of different approaches that you can kind of take. There's a ton of different acronyms out there. But the one that we really strongly kind of suggest following is the STAR method. So breaking that down, that is your, the S is your situation.
Okay.
So providing a little bit of detail. You don't want to just, you know, go in and be like, okay, well, I had this one, you know, customer one time when I worked in retail and, you know, they did ABC. That's not giving the employer a lot of kind of background. How did you handle the situation? Things like that. So really trying to kind of paint that picture in the, you know, interviewer's mind. What was the background? What was the situation in play? And then the T and A is your task and action. So what did you do? Was it, you know, that difficult customer when you worked retail? They wanted to do a return, but it was past the 30-day time period. They were getting very upset with you. Were you in a position where you couldn't really make that call? So one of your tasks and actions were you had to bring the supervisor in, or you had to go to your manager, you had to talk to them, or, you know, you went through the policy, whatever it was. really breaking down what it was that you tried to do to kind of combat that situation, to resolve it. And then the one that I feel like most people leave off is the result. And you can kind of tell when you're leaving the result off, because a lot of people, they'll kind of start answering their question and they'll end it with a, and yeah, and just kind of let it like drag out a little bit. And that's kind of how I can always feel like, okay, you didn't provide me enough of the results. You didn't really tell me what was the outcome of this. What happened? Did that customer leave happy? Were you able to resolve that issue? What was it? And this is also a great opportunity for people to even use negative outcomes.
Sure.
But then spin them around to, okay, well, that's what happened in this scenario, but what I learned from it is this, and next time I would approach it this way. And then it just kind of lets the employer also see like, oh, wow, like they saw that that wasn't, you know, the best outcome. It wasn't what they were really hoping for, but they've revised their scenario for the future. So really just kind of breaking it down into those four different things, your situation, task, action, and result, just helps you to really answer that question. And also, if you can tell that, like, they keep asking you a lot of follow-ups afterwards to try and dig a little bit more out from you, you can probably try to sense that, okay, maybe I'm not using that structure. Maybe I'm not answering it in the full way that they want me to. But typically, that kind of touches on all the points that they're trying to, all the underlying messages that they're trying to get out of that question.
I love what you said there about not all of them having to be a positive outcome.
Yeah.
I see it so often in interviews, and we want to put our best self forward.
Yeah.
But people come in and like chest out, arms up, shoulders out. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. You need me in your organization. You know, that kind of, and I want to kind of sit down like, wait a minute, like, let's get to reality.
Yep.
I've been in the business for quite some time. I have lots of failures.
Yep. We're all human. We all make mistakes.
What do we learn from them, and how do we not make sure that doesn't happen again? Yes. Is sometimes I think the most true self and best way to present yourself to a future employer, like, oh, this is someone who actually takes some stock in what they're doing and learns from it. Because I'm not expecting anybody to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's one when they always ask that question, you know, what are your strengths and weaknesses?
Oh, yeah.
The employers, like when they have candidates that say, oh, I have no weaknesses, I'm perfect. No one wants to hear that.
I'm just so dedicated to my job. Yes. And I don't know. No, anybody that says that, again, red flag. Yeah. You're hiring.
But same in that, like you always want to have something that you're working on, something that is a little bit more of a weakness for you, but tell them, you know, this is what I'm doing. Maybe I struggle with, you know, staying organized sometimes, but I've gotten myself a planner. I write everything down. I make sure it's in my phone. So I always have that on me as well. It's in my calendar. And I've got those two methods that help me to go through my to-do list.
I'm pretty sure you just answered it for me. If I were interviewing right now, that's awesome.
Yeah. So always having that, you know, what would I do differently or what have I learned from it?
Very, very cool. Okay. So we've asked these questions. We've used the star method. Then all of a sudden that wild card question comes out. You know, if you were a fruit, what fruit would you be? Or whatever kind of weird question is. What should someone do if they're faced with a question that you just don't know how to answer?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that you can do. One is if you think you kind of have an idea, but you just want a little bit of clarification, you can, you know, ask them, you know, is this kind of what you mean? Or were you looking for something different? You can ask them to rephrase the question or repeat it if you didn't get it. A lot of the times, you know, questions might have two or three questions within it. So that's where also if you have kind of that padfolio with you, you can write down a couple notes. That way, you know, you're not going to forget anything. But ask for that clarification if needed. If you're still kind of struggling from there, or it's one of those maybe experience questions, you know, tell me about your experience using the software system. If it's something that you physically haven't done, you haven't come across that yet, you haven't had that, you know, really difficult coworker, or really difficult patient or something like that, just let them know, you know, I unfortunately haven't had the opportunity to use the system or I haven't come across that scenario yet. However, if I was faced with that, I think I would do this and try to kind of spin it around that way too. Just like with those negative results, put it into more of a hypothetical, you know, this is what I envision I would do in that situation. If worst case scenario, you still really, you know, not sure, can't answer that question at all, just ask them, you know, unfortunately, I don't have an answer for that right now. Is that something that I could follow up with you on after the interview? And just kind of do it that way. In my consulting world, when I was working with clients and they would ask me a question, if I wasn't able to answer it for them, I'd say, really great question, but let's park that. And I'm going to follow up with you after this. I need to do a little bit of research on that. So totally okay to kind of also do that in your interviews as well.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it, talking about what you would do in the situation. Because so many times in interviews, you'll see someone who's like, well, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have that experience.
Yep. And
as an employer, as someone who's interviewed folks, I'm not expecting you to have all the experience.
Exactly.
If everybody had all the experience, it would be such an easy process and we wouldn't be doing interviews for it. So that's awesome. All right, let's do the touchy subject. You ready?
All right,
you know
yes.
where I'm going with touchy subjects?
I feel like I might possibly do.
Okay. So I've seen this go really, really wrong.
Yep.
Really, really wrong. What's the best way to address my salary expectations during the interview process?
Yes.
I don't want to say a guidebook, but this is when it should be asked and when it should happen, or do we have to feel out the process? Help me.
Yeah. So unfortunately, since Michigan is not a state where it's required for salary to be posted on a job description, I wish it was, this can get a little bit touchy sometimes. And I wish that there was a better, tried and true playbook on this, but it is sometimes feeling out the situation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things that you can do kind of in that initial preparation for the interview as well that you can do to kind of research what are the kind of average salaries for this type of role in this area that I'm applying for.
Mm-hmm.
So ONET Online is a really great resource to use for that.
Can you spell that?
Yes. So ONET Online.
Okay.
Yep. So if you Google ONET Online, it's a government database of occupations. Very comprehensive overview of, what does this occupation do? Provides a lot of other job titles and things to search for, but it does have salary outcomes in that as well based on the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So you're able to put in your particular postcode, applying in Saginaw, Midland, wherever, or you can do for all of Michigan.
Hmm.
And you can also see then where Michigan on average falls throughout the rest of the United States. And then you can see what the annual starting kind of lows are, what you'd expect is kind of more the entry level positions, the medians, all the way up to the highs. So using that kind of gives a little bit of a background then for you. So if that question is asked of what are your salary expectations, you can be like, well, based on my research and what I found on the Bureau of Labor Statistics for a marketing manager in Midland, they say it's ranged between here based on my experiences and where I fit with the role, I would expect this within that range.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of lets you make more of those informed decisions. Again,
sure.
Lets them know you did that research. You kind of understand what the competitive salaries are out there. But if you haven't, maybe it's a, occupation that wasn't so clear with those different salary outcomes, you can kind of reply back to them a little bit by saying, I'm open to discussing a range that aligns more with your role and your company, with the role in the company's budget, and just kind of open up that fluid conversation then, kind of take it back to them. We all know they've got approved budgets. That's how they got the position posted.
Right.
So it kind of takes it back to them to open that up as well.
Oh, I did not know about ONET Online.
Yes.
That's super helpful for folks going in because we all want to be paid what we're worth.
Yes.
And we're all worth more than anybody knows. So it's good to have that kind of baseline understanding and showing. Again, I think the common theme that I'm hearing over and over again is preparedness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Research and preparedness walking in will get you so much farther and show so much more
yep.
than just natural ability. Yep. In a lot of it. So
there's probably some things you can wing a little bit, but
sure.
It's good to not be over rehearsed, but good to have some of that stuff in your back pocket.
So speaking of over rehearsing, all
yes.
right. So I have been a part of virtual interviews. Mm-hmm. I've been a part of in-person interviews. The current process that we've been using starts with a virtual interview and goes live,
yep.
which I think is pretty common now. Let's talk about the virtual interview. What challenges do you see for the interviewee mm-hmm. and how they can do it? And then if I'm signing online to do a virtual interview, how can I kind of overcome some of those challenges?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the biggest challenges, and I mean, we've all seen this with any sort of virtual meeting, is just having a little bit more of that connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very common for the interview process to maybe be, that first round is kind of the virtual one. They can do a few more that way, narrow down their candidates, and then move to the in-person ones for that kind of smaller group of candidates there. But I would say that's probably one of the biggest challenges is really getting that feel for, like we were talking about earlier, that culture, making sure that you're a fit, that you're having that good kind of mesh between you and who you're interviewing with. But I think ways that you can overcome that, again, are just preparing your space, making sure that you do mm-hmm. have, you know, quiet space. If you, you know, still have roommates or you're at home with your pets and your children or anything like that, try to, you know, go into a room where they're not going to be interrupting you, and test your equipment as well.
Yeah.
We all know technology has its hiccups. It's great when it works, but mm-hmm. when it doesn't want to work, it's horrible. And be prepared for those hiccups. So that way you're not all flustered as well. So, you know, try to use your computer first. If you're not familiar with the platform that they've set up for your virtual interview as well, mm-hmm. ask them for a test link. Zoom, Teams, they all are systems that have just like test kind of platforms sure. that they can send beforehand. They don't have to be involved in it. They just send you the link. You can pull it up kind of like a mock setting, and just make sure your camera, your microphone are working, that you do kind of mm-hmm. have that professional background behind you. And then have your phone as kind of a backup. But if mm-hmm. you do use your phone, make sure you're not just holding it, because then you end up kind of right, making them dizzy around. Or spinning yeah. all around. So have a setup, have a couple books stacked up that you can put sure. your book against or something like that. So those are kind of some things I think you can do to overcome those hiccups, because it's when those hiccups happen that you get very flustered. And then you're very mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm running 5 minutes late because my internet's not connected. My computer battery died. So get set up early. You know, mm-hmm. kind of like that whole arriving to an in-person one early. You don't have to log in maybe, you know, 5-3 minutes before, but have your space ready to go.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. Yeah. I laugh because as you say that, I'm thinking of the background. There's a commercial on TV right now. I said TV, OTA, right? We all watch Netflix and those things. But there's a commercial out right now where the guy's getting ready for an interview, and it's he's got this bookshelf behind him and he starts taking things. I don't even know what the commercial is for, to be honest.
I haven't seen this one yet.
But then he takes all the things off, and then there's these like shelves in the back, and there's like one thing, and he gets on the interview and the first thing he says, well, I'm kind of a minimalist. And you're like, and they pan out and there's stuff everywhere, you know? And I kind of laugh when we put a lot of thought into those things about mm-hmm. the background and that stuff. I think for me as an employer, when I'm looking at it, I just want to see a natural setting.
Yeah.
Like where you're at, where it could be, as long as I can hear you very clearly.
Yep.
If I know that you're taking it very seriously and sitting down and meeting this and you've given us then I'm good.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be a big row of mahogany and leather-bound books. I mean, leather-bound. It doesn't need to be that. Yeah. It just needs to be that natural setting where I can sit down and have a conversation
yeah.
with somebody.
Really, for me, it's just not having distractions. Like,
exactly.
as long as there's not, like, you know, a bunch of stuff happening behind you that my mm-hmm. eyes are going to keep going to instead of having that focus on you.
Awesome. Okay, here's another important question. And this is a touchy subject for me. I'm going to be honest. I don't know. I have a very strong opinion about this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the right opinion or not. So I'm going to let you go on. How important is follow-up after an interview?
Yes.
You know, what should, you know, should we do a follow-up email or letter or whatever it might be? What is it after the interview's done? Mm-hmm. I finished. Now I'm asking myself, oh, should I send that? Should I not do that? What's your opinion?
So I know when I was a student, I was told absolutely no. Employers have too much going on. They don't mm-hmm. want to hear from you. I don't know as much about kind of, you know, for our like more seasoned alumni, like our professionals who have been in the sure. field for a while. But I definitely know from the student perspective, for like the internships that they're going for those recent mm-hmm. grads that are, you know, getting into their first full-time position. A lot of the employers that we've spoken to recently want those follow-ups again.
They do.
So I think it still kind of depends
yeah.
on who the employer is and stuff. But I think from the interview, that's something that you can try and suss out a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of getting that feel, you know, did we have that really good rapport? Did mm-hmm. they seem kind of open to that? Or were they a little bit more, you know, closed off, maybe a little bit more traditional? Maybe they won't appreciate mm-hmm. that follow-up. But it kind of goes back into that really high turnover again, and they really want candidates who have that strong desire to work there, that interest
sure.
and having that follow-up can kind of help show that a little bit sometimes.
Okay you might have changed my mind a little bit.
Yeah,
then, because I might be old school, and I looked at it from this side is, we've gone through the interview, I made up my mind.
Yeah,
I know who I want now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm arguing with the other people.
Yeah,
right. And so I've always seen the follow-up as nice, it's a nice touch, and at mm-hmm. least you know you want, but you're not making the decision
yeah.
that way. On the other side of it, even though it doesn't make the decision, mm-hmm. I've always advised people to do a follow-up,
yep.
only in that you never know what's going to happen 2 years down the road.
Exactly.
And I will remember,
yep.
okay, I interviewed this person, and yeah, they were okay, but mm-hmm. we had this really great candidate,
yep.
and you know, Nick was okay, but he sent me a follow-up and I could see that there was someone who was following the process.
Yeah.
And it went to that preparedness. Yeah. And it
maybe not the right fit for this one, but our next one that opens.
Exactly. Yep. So I always saw the follow-up as it's not going to make or break the job.
Yep.
You're not getting it because of the follow-up.
Yep.
But you are going to keep more doors open.
Exactly.
Regardless, yeah, on it. So,
I'd agree with that.
But I'm also talking about people who are a little farther in their career.
Yes.
And that.
Yep.
So, you know, I can definitely see your point,
yeah,
of that first job out of college, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, you know, I want proof that this person really, really wants,
yeah,
this.
Yeah. So. And also, it's a kind of on the, you know, going back to, you know, using negative examples in your answers as well. If from that interview, you got the sense that this might not be the right, mm-hmm, company for me, this might not be the right role for me, that's a great opportunity for you to bow out of the interviews also.
Mm-hmm.
Still thank them for their time. You really appreciated coming in, learning more about the position, more about the company. Unfortunately, at this time, I just don't think it's a right fit for me. And, mm-hmm, then that way, again, you're not wasting anyone's time. You've kind of let them know, and you,
sure,
still then have that opportunity. If, you know, another job opens up, mm-hmm, you still have that good relationship. You still have that good network with the organization instead of just ghosting them.
Right. 100%. 100%. That's a great point. Okay. So we've all been there.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Oh boy.
We got the I'm so sorry letter.
Yes.
What's the best way? So we've gone through the interview. We thought it went really, really well. We rocked it, mm-hmm, right? You obviously rocked it. And we get that rejection. What's the best way to either handle that rejection, but also maybe ask for feedback,
yeah,
or learn from the experience? What should we do when we find out?
Yeah. So, I mean, biggest one is never burn those bridges. Like we were just talking about, you never know, you know, the job market's fairly competitive right now too. Like there's, mm-hmm, a lot of job seekers out there and you never know, you might've had, you know, on paper exactly on par, but you know, someone, mm-hmm, else just interviewed slightly better than you,
sure,
had different examples, were able to kind of provide a little bit more of that context that the employer was looking for in that case. But, you know, 3 months down the road, they might have another position open up. Now they've got great growth. They can add a new position. If you burnt that bridge and you were really nasty and negative to them, you're going to be marked in their system and they're not going to, mm-hmm, review your application. So really keeping that open, you know, polite conversation, you know, mm-hmm, thank you for getting back with me. I'm sorry to hear that, but I appreciate you like at least letting me know type of thing. But then you can always ask that feedback as well. Sometimes they'll give it. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes maybe the person calling you wasn't involved in the, mm-hmm, interview process, so they have to kind of follow up with you. But you could say something, you know, could you share your insights on, you know, areas that I can improve for future opportunities? Always show them that you're looking to improve yourself. You want to be able to do better next time. What was it that I kind of fell short on? Or, you know, was it something just in my experience? This person had 10 years experience. I only have 8 and you were looking, mm-hmm, for that little bit extra or something, whatever the case may be. But just ask them if they can share those insights.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm glad you said that because as soon as you said, I've had that conversation,
yeah,
several times with folks and it's gut wrenching when you were hiring somebody, you want to root for everybody,
yeah,
and you'd love to give everybody the job and we all have money and it's all going to be great. Right. And I've had that conversation where it's like, you know, it's nothing that you didn't do.
Yeah.
You represented yourself very well. You are a great candidate. I would love to hire you at some point, but the fit that I need right now,
yep,
is this. And this person had just that little bit much there.
Yep.
And I've had that conversation, tough conversation, to say, you're doing everything the way you should. I would have needed, like you said, a couple more years of experience,
yeah,
in X, whatever X is,
yep,
right? And it's a tough pill to swallow because we can't get that experience till we get the job.
Yep.
And so I've actually helped a couple people. I love this conversation. That's why I encourage,
yeah,
people to have the conversation after the interview. I'll use a personal example. I applied for a position quite a few years ago. went through the whole, I thought I rocked the interview.
Yeah.
I was super excited. And I got the, we're so sorry. And I sat down and said, well, what am I, like,
yeah,
what do you need me to do,
yeah,
in order to reach this level? Because I was pretty upset. I was hurt,
yeah,
you know, and nobody likes to be rejected.
Nope.
And the person in charge sat down and said, well, really what we're looking for is X.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I had X and we talked about X. Like, what's going on? You know, and it made me kind of sit back and like question, like, would this have been a really good fit?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I am so thankful that X didn't work out because I love my job,
yeah,
now and I found the right fit along the way.
Yeah.
And so that rejection at the time, as painful as it was, having that conversation and even learning that, well, wait a minute, they didn't really know me.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't say the things I should have or done that. It's going to work out.
Yeah. And I know, like, on that, like, I know it's very cliche, but I'm also in that kind of mindset of, okay, well, that one didn't work out, but that just means there is something better for me. Yeah. There was something that with that one wasn't going to be the right fit eventually. Maybe I would have only been there a year, wouldn't have liked it. The next opportunity, when I get it, it's going to be the right one. So I'm very much kind of in that mentality also.
That's awesome. That's great. Great conversation. Okay, yeah. We're getting close to the end. We got one big question at the end, but before we do that, I want a funny question.
Okay.
I want to know, what's the strangest interview question that you have ever heard or seen? My favorite is, I had a boss once who really wanted to ask, like, if you were a fruit, what fruit would it be? And they, like, put credence in it. I'm like, wait a minute, come on, lady.
I mean, I've definitely had ones like that. Like, what fruit, what animal would you be? Oh, the weirdest, though.
Is there a place for questions like that in an interview? I'm sorry.
I mean, I feel like most interviews I've ever had always kind of throw in one of those, like, weird ones in there.
Just to throw you off.
Just to throw you off. And yeah, I think it's just to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. Sure. They're not really probably looking for anything super deep and meaningful out of it. Like, but they just kind of want to know, like, how would you handle that if you're kind of thrown off, like, off guard?
I only want people who say they're going to be monkeys.
Yes.
Because then they... No.
But yeah, I think it just kind of shows, like, your adaptability a little bit. Like, what happens when it comes up. But I don't know if I can think of... What would be my strangest outside of...
Sorry, I threw you for a loop on
you
that
did
one.
On
that was
that
my
one.
Strange
yeah.
question.
Yeah, and I haven't really thought back on some of my, like, previous interviews or ones that I've sat in on of what I've heard recently.
I've seen the tree. I've seen the fruit.
I've seen color as well. That one
really?
I wasn't really... I was like, okay, I guess I can kind of get, like, there's color personalities. Maybe you're trying to get that, but...
Mm-hmm. Maybe a secondary question. How, when I have a strange question or just a question, a personal question, like...
Yeah.
How personal should I get in an interview? Should I really open myself up in an interview, or is there a professionalism line that I need to watch and make sure that I stay in front of?
I think, again, you can kind of read the room a little bit in that sense. Like, how has the conversation been going? But of course, we want to try and avoid any negative bias that might come up with anything too personal that you say. I mean, of course, we still want to be true to ourselves and who we are and everything, but we don't want to try, and unfortunately, no matter as illegal as it is, people's minds are going to do what they want to do with certain things that you say. So, like, when they kind of ask that question, you know, tell me about yourself, they're not really looking for a full list of your hobbies and everything that you want to do, but having some sort of sense in there of, I do have work-life balance. I am able to go home and, you know, I do know how to relax type of thing, especially if you're going into, like, a high pressure position.
Sure.
They might be looking for something like that. So it's kind of reading the room a little bit, but you definitely don't need to go into, you know, who your siblings are and all of that kind of deep context.
I'm so glad you said that, because that is the first question that gets asked in a lot of reasons. Yep. Oh, tell me a little bit about yourself. And everybody stops, and it's either, I've seen one of two examples, even in, it's either the oversharer who tells me, like, what they had for breakfast that morning,
yep.
or it's the person who gets up and, like, basically reads their resume again. I'm like, I have your resume.
Yep.
I'm trying to get a sense. When I ask that question, I'm trying to, can we have a conversation?
Yeah.
Can we talk?
Yeah.
So I love that. You know, tell me a little bit about yourself. Awesome. All right. We're getting to the end. Sorry, I kept you here a while, but it's really interesting. It's a fun topic. Thank you for being here. But we always ask all of our guests the last question. And this is a podcast that's all about professional development and helping folks out. So if we were going to take the overarching theme that we learned today, what is the one big piece of advice that you would give anybody who's preparing for an interview right now?
So one thing with the career services office that we really kind of focus on is the storytelling. So telling your story through your resume, through your professional profiles, and then ultimately when you get into your interviews. So I think that'd be one of the biggest pieces of advice is just focusing kind of on your storytelling and being true to that story. So making sure that that story is staying consistent, even on just your regular social media platforms.
Sure.
It's all out there in the web space. They can Google your name and everything
Absolutely.
Will come up. So being true to your brand. Yes. And most employers do. It's not illegal for them. So they're going to do it. So I think that's kind of one of the big things. And really trying to kind of focus on your achievements as well, but in a non-braggy way. Like, you still want them to be relevant to what you're going into and how it relates to the skills and the positions that you're going into. But really the impact that you can bring to the role as well, and how your story and how your brand's going to do that.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Lizzie, I appreciate your time. Yes. We've been sitting with Lizzie Hubble-Verdosa, our Assistant Director of Career Services, a very proud SVSU alum as well. I appreciate your time. I think there's a lot to be taken from today as far as just being put at ease of going in for that interview. And I hope those of you out there who are listening or watching us will go in and really kick some butt.
Oh, yeah.
In that next interview.
I think they can.
They're Cardinals. It happens.
Exactly.
It happens. Well, thank you, everyone. And we'll sign off from here. Enjoy your time out there. Remember, as an alumni, we love it when you stand out. Take care.